This is the Mutual Newsroom in San Francisco. In order to bring you a special broadcast direct from Japan, Mutual, the network for news, replaces the program usually heard at this time. And now for a report direct from the Japanese capital, go ahead, Tokyo.
Thank you. is now flying from the top of the Chancellor Building on the American Embassy grounds in Tokyo. This is the same flag that flew over our White House when war was declared, and it led us through over Casablanca and Berlin, Rome, and Berlin. There's one small correction we'd like to make here, an important correction. Let us know when the...
Our Father who art in heaven, on this historical day, as peace comes to all mankind, we humbly entreat our abundant blessings on all nations throughout the entire world. O Lord God, King of heaven and earth, vouchsafe this day to direct and to sanctify, to rule and to govern our souls and our bodies, our senses, words, and actions in thy law and in the works of thy commandments, that both now and forever we may deserve to be saved. Long and valiantly have men fought and died to see this day of peace. And now may the Lord God order our days and deeds in his peace forever and ever. Amen.
That was the benediction said by Chaplain Eugene Packard Wells, the 1st Cavalry Division's chaplain, who was from Richmond, Virginia. The distinguished captain of the battle now. And I would like to finish that correction. Admiral Bill Halsey represented the Navy here this morning. We all thought that it was Admiral Nimitz when they started the gate, but as they turned in, we got a good look at him, and it was Admiral Halsey. We are standing here at the embassy grounds now. The embassy itself is a White House high up on the hill. And we are below it in the empty lily pond, in which someone has planted a few tomato plants in an effort to stretch out the serious lack of food here in Tokyo. The swimming pool next to this pond is empty too. But when we arrived early this morning, several Japanese were busy scrubbing it out and getting it ready. The 1st Cavalry Division was picked this morning as the honor guard, and as their troops arrive, they'll take on other duties as the first occupation troops to arrive in Japan's capital city. They are bivouac near the Meiji Shrine, and as the force builds up, it will be their duty to provide guards for GHQ and to patrol the city, both as guards and by parade. As yet, no definite guard duties have been handed out to the 1st Cavalry Division. You remember this is the division that were liberated the Santa Tomas and served all through the campaign with General MacArthur to the Philippines, and I hear this morning with him in Tokyo. The band is playing their final number now, and the guests have left the ground, and work will go on as usual. This is the only ceremony that will be held today, and this is the first flag to fly in Tokyo. The first American flag has been raised over the embassy grounds here this morning. The 1st Cavalry Division, when it arrived, is set in front of the Diet Building, the Japanese Diet Building, and that was the beginning of the formal occupation of this city. The 1st Cavalry Division are now forming ranks.
This is Tokyo. We now return you to the combined networks in the United States.
From the Japanese capital, you have heard an on-the-scene description of General Douglas MacArthur's entry into the city and the flag-raising ceremonies attendant to it. This broadcast was released to the combined American networks. Stay tuned to Mutual, the network for news, for the latest reports from both at home and abroad. Now, from the Mutual Newsroom in San Francisco, we bring you a summary of the latest news. Tonight, with Douglas General MacArthur in Tokyo and the American flag flying over his headquarters at the American Embassy, Tokyo newspapers are warning the populace to remain calm. Officials have added their pleas for order during the peak hour of national humiliation, an hour when alien troops moved into Tokyo for the first time in history. According to American headquarters, it'll take 3 days for MacArthur's forces to completely take over Tokyo's 200 square miles. The full job will be done by 15,000 men. In the meantime, more American troops are moving into Nippon by the hour. And since the war ended, inflation has become acute in Tokyo. Prices are exorbitant for foodstuffs such as rice, sugar, salt, and butter. Under occupation regulations, the yen is worth about 15 to 1 American dollar. But even if you have the yen, it's no guarantee you can get food. Butter and salt are out of the question, and the Japanese in Tokyo have told AP correspondent Al Dopking that the cost of foodstuffs has increased as much as 200 times in some instances. In the meantime, thousands of sick and weary Allied prisoners of war are being sent to embarkation points for journeys home. The prisoners' tales of brutal treatment are being put into the record for use at subsequent war crimes trials. The tide of occupation is flowing swiftly, even as General MacArthur settles in Tokyo. Two naval bases will fall into American hands tomorrow, our time. One is the Katsura Naval and Submarine Base, some 42 miles southeast of Tokyo. The other is the Ominato Naval Base in northern Honshu. On Monday, our time, the United States Third Fleet will enter the port of Sendai, 90 miles north of Tokyo, to begin the evacuation of war prisoners there. And tomorrow, our time, too, the Japanese army of more than 1 million men in China is expected to surrender formally at Nanking. In the meantime, Japan's home army of 3 million is disarming under the supervision of Nipponese police. So far, the occupation has been without violence. It's been learned from Japanese sources in Tokyo, though, that fanatical Japanese officers killed the commanding general of the emperor's personal guards on August 14th. The Jap diehards forged the slain general's name and sent troops to surround the emperor's palace to search for the radio transcript of the surrender announcement. But the plot fell through when the slain Japanese general's subordinates spotted the forgery. And when other members of the die-hard faction learned of the failure of the original scheme, they raced to the Tokyo radio station. Then they searched the building for the emperor's surrender document. But a radio station employee telephoned a nearby army garrison for help. All the time, the surrender recording was still at the palace and was delivered to the radio station shortly before it went on the air at noon, August the 15th. Organized resistance to the emperor's decision to surrender apparently ended at the radio station. An AP man named Brines was told that many Jap suicide pilots dived to their death in Tokyo Bay at the news of the surrender. Across the world in Europe, Berlin looked on as the military might of four great allies thundered through the streets in a VJ Day parade today. Thousands of allied military spectators listened as the conqueror of Berlin, Soviet Marshal Georges Zhukov, heralded victory over the black forces of aggression in the Far East. Zhukov added that the defeat of Japan was assured through the friendly assistance of American, British, Chinese, and Soviet fighting forces. The sensation of the military parade was a new low-slung 65-ton Soviet tank. These tanks mounted guns apparently twice as large as the American 75s. And from Paris comes word that a large number of American Army units have been alerted for shipment home from France within the next few days. Units alerted included the 63rd and 103rd Infantry Divisions and the 6th Armored Division. In Oslo, Norway, the treason case against Vidkun Quisling has gone to a 7-man jury. The verdict in the case of the former puppet dictator of Norway is not expected to be handed down before September the 12th. Nazi bigwigs awaiting war crimes trials at Nuremberg, Germany, are receiving humane but severe treatment. That's the story from there. That, too, is the up-to-the-minute news picture as presented from the Mutual newsroom in San Francisco. Stay tuned to Mutual, the network for the news, for the latest reports from both at home and abroad. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
This is Jack Mann reporting for the first time from Radio Tokyo Studios in Tokyo. I have just watched the Stars and Stripes go up over the capital city of Japan. In a brief and simple ceremony in the American Embassy compound, conducted by Supreme Commander General Douglas MacArthur, our country's flag was raised above the Chancellery Building just after 11 o'clock this morning. A guard of honor from the 7th Regiment of the 1st Cavalry Division, commanded by Major General William Chase of Rhode Island, lined the approaches to the embassy and the compound. To approach the embassy, I had to drive through block after block of bombed-out, wrecked buildings. The embassy itself is located in a hilly section of the city, and from it, the Japanese Diet and Emperor Hirohito's Palace,
two other historic spots where this nation's war against the United States were plotted and approved were plainly visible. It is very possible the Emperor and some of the Japanese responsible for the war that has recently ended watched the ceremony. No one will ever know, but one thing is certain. No Japanese dignitaries were present in the compound. General MacArthur, flanked by General Chase, arrived a minute before 11 a.m. He strode firmly up the path and three steps leading to a pair of microphones facing the Chancery building. He was followed by Lieutenant General Robert L. Eisenberger, commanding the Ice Army and occupation troops in this area. Admiral William F. Halsey, commander of the Third Fleet, accompanied General Eisenberger. General MacArthur's staff, officers, and war correspondents filled the embassy grounds as the 1st Cavalry Band played ruffles and flourishes. Then the Supreme Commander opened the ceremony. Addressing General Eisenberger, who faced him, General MacArthur said, "General Eisenberger, have our country's flag unfurled over Tokyo. Let it wave in its full glory as a symbol of hope for the oppressed and as a harbinger of victory for the right." That was all. General Eisenberger saluted and air-faced the Chancery building. The band struck up the Star-Spangled Banner. The arms of the audience stiffened in salute. There was an emotion there under a gray Tokyo sky as the flag, the same flag which flew over the nation's capital at Washington, D.C. on December 7, 1941, and later flew over Rome and Berlin, and only recently over the USS Missouri at the formal surrender ceremonies, was raised and came to rest over the United States Chancellor. General MacArthur then asked the 1st Cavalry Chaplain to read the benediction. He removed his battered, old, gold-braided visor, and all stood with bared heads throughout the prayer. When it was finished, the band struck up another familiar martial tune. The Supreme Commander led his delegation down the path and out of the embassy grounds to the bomb-wrecked streets surrounding it. The strains of the Stars and Stripes Forever rose to Tokyo's somber sky. This is Jack Mann reporting from Tokyo. I return you to Mutual in the United States.
The American occupation of the Japanese capital city of Tokyo is underway right now. The first mechanized units of the famous 1st Cavalry moved into a bomb-torn capital before 9 p.m. Pacific wartime. And by 9:25, American jeeps and weapon carriers had driven up in front of the Emperor Hirohito's palace. Meanwhile, there is an indication that General MacArthur already may be in Tokyo. At any rate, the Japanese news agency, Domei, says that the American flag already has been raised over MacArthur's headquarters in the American embassy. The Japanese story said nothing more than that. However, according to MacArthur's previously announced plans, the Allied Supreme Commander has scheduled to attend the flag-raising ceremony. And the ceremony was planned to follow a 3-mile military parade through Tokyo. At just about the same time that the mechanized units made their first appearance within Tokyo, reconnaissance groups moved past the Japanese Parliament building. At just about the same time that the mechanized units made their first appearance...
Come... Oh, God damn it!
What the hell are you doing?
You snake! Turn it off, will you?
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Again, we speak to you from the oft-mentioned Mutual Newsroom in San Francisco, from whence come many broadcasts coast to coast and relayed by shortwave from Manila, the Philippines, Okinawa, Japan, and other points in the vast theater of operations in the Pacific. But on this occasion, instead of bringing you something on the order of a special event from the Pacific, let us interview a bevy of beauties from right here in San Francisco, who happen to be on this occasion visiting our KFRC Mutual Studios in San Francisco. Reading left to right, let's take them as they appear. A young lady with a brunette, a very lovely young lady, too. Lean right down and tell us your name, will you?
Laura Picciarillo.
Laura who?
Picciarillo.
What is that, an Italian name?
Yes.
Lovely. Isn't she nice, Tom? Tom is with us, the Marine, today, too, for this occasion. Tell us how you're enjoying yourself up here at the Stadia Studios.
Very much. It's nice to see the teletype machines and how the shortwave broadcasts come in from overseas.
Tom, I wonder if we ought to get any phone numbers while we're passing around here. Well, how about the other young lady next to you here? Isn't she ravishing, as the word goes? Come right in and say hello, will you?
Hello, everybody.
And what is your name?
Pat Edwards.
Oh, Edwards. Berkeley. That rings a sour note because, well, I had a little love in Berkeley that I...
What was her name?
Bonnie Coverly?
I don't know. No, she
lives in Panoramic Way. You know where that is, up in the hills?
Yes, I know where that
good
is.
Good and
very
close.
Definitely.
Yeah, good and close. So you live in Berkeley, huh?
Yes, I do. I've lived there all my life.
Did you go to Cal over there?
I do go to Cal now.
Oh, good. Wonderful. You having a good time here in the studios?
Wonderful time.
Really?
I'm very much impressed.
Oh, boy. This fellow that really rounded these girls up really has an eye for beauty and splendor. Thanks a lot for saying hello. How about the other young lady right here in the fur coat, another brunette? Come in and say hello.
Hello.
Oh, a little closer and a little louder.
Hello.
How are you tonight?
I'm fine.
You having fun here?
I sure am.
Well, that's good. What do you think of the shortwave department at Mutual?
Oh, I think it's fine.
You like it all right, huh?
Yeah.
Do you think you'll come back and see us again soon?
If you invite me.
And what is your name?
Alice Martinelli. Drink your apple a day.
Good. One more to go, and we have a lovely young blonde here. Oh, mercy, Leroy. Leroy. What is your name, please?
Mary Lloyd.
And where are you from, Mary?
From Berkeley.
Berkeley, too. Mm-hmm. You never heard of Bonnie either, did you?
No, I can't say that I have.
Yeah, I wish I hadn't. Well, tell us a little bit more about yourself. Is that beautiful blonde hair natural?
Uh-huh, absolutely. Sun-bleached.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
I think we ought to go over to Berkeley Sunday. Are you enjoying your little visit up here?
Oh, I've never had more fun. It certainly is fun.
Where did this handsome Marine find all of you young ladies?
Oh, well, that's a long story.
Well, I'll make it short and brief.
Well, we met him a long, long time ago.
Met him? I practically raised the boy.
Well, thank you all very much for coming up. We'll play your little disc back here and see how you yourselves like it. Thank you, Mr. Nye, for the recording job, and let us say so long to you from Mutual in San Francisco.